Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Let's change the subject a little bit. And we all have these memories. We always think back on the embarrassing times in our lives, and somehow we remember them in excruciating detail. The happy memories are there, and they're wonderful. They're almost set to some form of nostalgic music, and happy memories flow into each other. They're very, very different somehow to the excruciating detail of an embarrassing moment that we might have had. And somehow we just can't seem to let that go. And the question is why. We wanted to get an expert's opinion on this. Singobile Aderi Noye, who's a clinical psychologist. A very good morning. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Morning, Howard. How are you?
I am well, thank you. So we all have those memories. And the minute we say that, we can always think of one. We can always just think back of something that's happened to us that we're a bit embarrassed about. And it's there. It's always there for our reference. Why is that?
Yeah. So that's because the function of shame and guilt is actually quite stronger than the function of being happy or remembering happy memories. We hold it in a specific place in our brain, and obviously then it replays itself over and over again like a stuck tape. And it'll always be more overwhelming until it's addressed and addressed appropriately. We find that shame can be all-encompassing, drumming out all of the good and happy memories, all of the positives, all of the achievements that one has done. But that one moment where we felt an intense amount of shame or an intense amount of guilt, it remains and it lingers.
And when you say that the only way really to give it less prominence is to deal with that, what does that mean, dealing with it?
So dealing with shame and dealing with guilt actually requires you to engage with the emotion and engage with the situation that it happened in. So that would include you going to therapy, that would include you getting some form of either whether it's talk therapy or whether it be therapy that is more focused on the physical, tapping into the different parts of yourself to understand where is the shame sitting, what does the shame mean to you, what is the feeling, what is the color, what is the sense of the shame, and fully understanding and fully unpacking that obviously would require you to then go to a specialist, someone who's trained. That would be your psychologist or therapist, as they're known sometimes.
Why do you think we're so hard on ourselves? You know, I often say to people that are going through a difficult time like this, what advice would you give to somebody else? If your friend came to you and told you about this, would you be as harsh on them as you are being on yourself? Why can't you be as kind to yourself as you are to people around you? Why is it that we do that?
So as people, we're generally very self-critical of ourselves. In the sense that if I somehow end up in a situation, for example, now with the matriculants, and I end up not making it with my fellow classmates, I am going to be a hell of a lot more critical on myself than I would be on anybody else. Because human beings hold themselves to a certain level, so a certain esteem in a sense. And if you feel like I should be part of this class of 2022 and I didn't make it, then you start to obviously unravel. Whatever the situation may be, whether it be you were part of the cricket team, part of a rugby team, and you don't make it into the A squad, you don't make it to being part of those people who are seen as doing great. You feel like I am at the end of my wits and I am probably not as good enough. So that we often find that when we start speaking to a person who's gone through a situation where they're feeling like, okay, I didn't make it and I'm being hard on myself and I've decided to go to therapy and I'm going to work on this, there's quite a lot of questioning of itself, questioning of, am I good enough? Am I smart enough? Am I even supposed to be in this particular situation where I am given the opportunities that I've been given? So people are very self-critical. It's easy to give another person a little bit of grace, but it's very difficult to give yourself a bit of grace. especially when it comes to a person who's come obviously from different backgrounds. Your family might, you might have been raised by a very self-critical family. You might have been raised by parents who were very critical, needed you to continue getting A's, needed you to continue being top of your class. No matter what you brought home, it was always questioned as, but really, someone got better than you? There's often a clip that I've seen of, there's a series where the boy brings home 98%, and the whole family goes, well, how could you bring home 98%? But what did other people say? And he says, I got the highest in my class. And they say to him, well, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. And those are the narratives that play out.
And those become the voices. Time. Those become the voices that you hear your whole life.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is really incredibly, incredibly sad. The other thing that I've noticed is we don't seem to make allowances for the fact that maybe some of these memories happened or these embarrassing moments happened when we were young, when we were children, sure. when we were teenagers, when we were, you know, and we view it with a so-called adult or mature brain, and we judge ourselves on at a time that we didn't have the maturity.
Yeah, we do that because a person is always trying to fix. So you might find you go to therapy and your therapist says to you, why do you keep trying to repair that memory by doing things as an adult? Because as an adult, you are now able to see, okay, this thing could have happened in this way. The reason it happened in this way is X, Y, and Z. Now I'm going to try and repair it. Some of these things happen unconsciously.
Right.
So we end up in a cycle of, okay, now I'm repairing it. You might end up getting into really bad relationships that you shouldn't be in because you're constantly trying to repair the relationship.
So interesting.
You.
Well, in fact, there was such a fascinating example this week, and I think it talks to what you're saying, but in fact, maybe it's in a positive. There's an Australian Minister of Parliament who just revealed or just acknowledged that at his 21st birthday party, he dressed up in a Nazi uniform. And
yes.
Now he's an older, he's a mature politician. He has spent his life fighting injustice. He's a great friend, for example, of the Jewish community. So he's taken something, maybe a low point, maybe something that he just didn't have the maturity to realize, but he's actually moved in a very positive direction. Now, people are still critical of him. I disagree. I think that what he's done is tremendous. How he's moved forward and dedicated his life to very positive things. But here's an example exactly of that. I think in a positive way. You're saying you can do that in a negative way as well if you're not careful.
Yes, you can. Because you always try and fix it. And in trying to fix it, you might end up doing more harm than good.
Absolutely. What a fantastic conversation. That's where we leave it. Unfortunately, it is 7 o'clock. Singobile Adereni-Yore, who is a clinical psychologist, chatting to us about embarrassing memories.